Let's open our Bibles this afternoon to 2 Timothy. Our scripture reading is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We read the entire chapter. It is taken especially from verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember, Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this afternoon is 2 Timothy 2, especially verses 3 and 4, drawing some from the context. 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, you and I have been called as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Maybe you haven't been called to the front lines, as it were, but God has put all of us who are children in Jesus Christ, adopted into His family, He has called us all to be part of His army, to be soldiers of Jesus Christ. And when you sign up for military service, it's not supposed to be a picnic. Sometimes it happens in the world. Young men sign up for military service in our country thinking perhaps it's an easy place to obtain job training or as a way to save for college. And maybe they reason this way, well, the country's not at war right now, so what's there to worry about? They sign up for service and then end up getting deployed to the battlefront, far from the comfort of home when a battle arises. They didn't realize they were signing up to be trained for war. And they didn't realize that once they signed up, they didn't have an option to decide where they would go and when they would go. And when it comes time to endure hardship, they say to themselves, I didn't sign up for this. Well, sadly, beloved, that's the way many treat our service to Jesus Christ. We have the same attitude. We're willing to do a certain amount of quote-unquote service. We're willing to come to church twice on Sunday, perhaps. And perhaps we are willing to put some money in the offering now and again. But when it comes to enduring hardship, then they think to themselves, I didn't sign up for this. I'm not going to endure hardship for Jesus Christ. Often reflecting the way many in the world would react to service in the military. God's word, beloved, to you and me today is Jesus Christ has called us to warfare. He's not called us to a picnic. And maybe that's the way Timothy felt when he faced opposition at Ephesus. Apparently the Apostle Paul thought it necessary to encourage Timothy to endure hardship for the sake of the gospel, because Timothy was discouraged. He didn't want to endure hardship. So the Apostle says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy was called to warfare, and so too, beloved, are we called to warfare. Let's consider the text under that theme, called to warfare. Let's notice that we are first called by Jesus Christ, called to endure hardness then, and called to avoid entanglements. Called to warfare. If you and I, beloved, are going to be faithful in the spiritual warfare to which we are called, we must be convinced that we are called by Jesus Christ to warfare. We must be convinced that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. Obviously, if you're going into battle, you want to know who has authority over you. Who is commanding you? that's something that has to be firmly established in our minds. Who are we serving when we go into battle? Spiritually speaking, are we serving the devil? Are we serving ourselves? Or are we serving Jesus Christ? All of us, beloved, are in a spiritual battle. Some of you in great spiritual battles. And you must answer that question. Who am I serving? The default answer is ourselves and the devil. Because by nature we serve sin. That's the default answer. But if God has given us grace in Jesus Christ, according to His eternal purpose, that's the previous context that the apostle has been addressing to Timothy. If God has given us grace, if He has purchased us with the precious blood of His only begotten Son, if He has brought life and immortality to light in us, if He has worked in our hearts to give us unfeigned faith, then we belong to our faithful Savior. Then it must also be that we have been called to serve as soldiers of Jesus Christ. No, not always on the front line, not necessarily as minister or as elders or deacons, but as fathers and mothers, as children, as students, as workers, wherever God has placed us, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul would have Timothy know that. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A soldier, according to the idea in the original, is one who owes his allegiance to his commander. As if to say, Timothy, Jesus Christ calls you to show your allegiance to Him, your commander and chief. No doubt Timothy was familiar with the Roman military in that day when Paul uses that figure. A picture would come to Timothy's mind. Timothy knew that service in the Roman military was counted as a privilege that was only given to Roman citizens. When soldiers were chosen, then they had to swear an oath of allegiance that they would be utterly subject to the authority of their general. So subject would these soldiers be to their general, it happened at times that when the army failed or when they deserted or stumbled in some way and went against the orders of the general, they were at times commanded to kill 1 in 10. That was called decimation. The soldiers would obey the command of their general to kill their own fellow soldiers, 1 in 10. They must be subject. That's the point. Subject to the authority of the general. All civilian affairs had to be set aside. They would camp in a separate camp away from the city. And every action, essentially every action, was determined by the general. Even what they ate and drank was meant to help them function in their role as soldiers. Well, that certainly applies, beloved, to us as God's people. That applies, as the apostle writes this word to Timothy, it applies to ministers of the gospel. We are soldiers of Jesus Christ. We are called to live for the sake of the ministry. But we make a mistake if we think, well, that's only ministers that have to serve in Christ's army. Only ministers have to endure hardness. Only ministers have to please their commander. No, every citizen of the kingdom of Jesus Christ is called as a soldier of Jesus Christ. What a privilege. It really is a privilege, beloved, to serve in Christ's spiritual army, the army in which we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have been chosen by Christ, set free from our bondage to sin and to Satan, that we might now give our allegiance to Christ, that we might now submit to His rule in our lives. Before, we could not even do that. As slaves to Satan, we didn't even want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ has set us free from that bondage. And now He calls us to set aside worldly distractions for His sake. Every action and thought belongs to Him. Whether we eat or drink, He calls us to do whatever we do to His honor and glory. I say, every one of us ought to see ourselves as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Why was Timothy a soldier of Christ? Why are we soldiers of Christ? Well, because Christ has chosen us. Verse 4 of the text, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this world, that he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I don't know about you, beloved, but it's difficult for me to comprehend what a great privilege Christ has given us, that He would take us into His kingdom, that He would make us soldiers in His army. And it wasn't for anything that He saw in us. He didn't look down through history and see who is going to be more worthy. I will choose them as my soldiers. He didn't do that. Because if that were the case, if He was to choose us based on our worthiness, He would choose none of us. He chose us out of mere grace. He chose us, and then He died for us when we were yet rebels against Him. He chose us not because we were holy, but He chose us in order to make us holy. He chose us so that we might please Him who has chosen us to be soldiers. That's verse 4. A good soldier wants to please his commander. How would a Roman soldier please his commander? Obviously not by doing whatever he wanted to do. Romans, they fought in highly organized armies consisting of several legions put together. A legion consisted of some 4,800 men. And that legion was split up into 10 individual cohorts. Each cohort had 480 men. Each of those was split up again into 6 what they called centuries of 80 men. And in the battle, they marched in very tight formation. You couldn't have soldiers going wherever they wanted to go. They must follow their commander to a T. They knew, the soldiers knew, if you wanted to please your commander, you marched in the formation that the commander dictated. And so they marched as a huge, big wall towards their enemies with their shields up. And they knew that the army was strongest when they all marched in formation, united, every member carrying out the requirements of the commander. A good soldier wants to please his commander. He will march as the commander would have him march. And that's what we have to examine about ourselves, beloved. Do you want to please Jesus Christ, your commander? Maybe someone says, yes, I want to please, but I can't because all my actions are stained with sin. Well, just to be clear, the Apostle Paul, as he speaks to Timothy about pleasing his commander, Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is not talking about trying to please the commander in order for Jesus Christ to declare us perfectly righteous. He's not talking about justification. He's not saying, please Jesus Christ in order that he would justify you. That's not what the apostle is declaring. We're not seeking to please him because we want to be justified, but we are seeking to please him because we are already justified. We want to please him not because we want Christ to choose us, but we want to please him because he has already chosen us by grace. It's all about thankfulness. How can I please Jesus Christ? That's what we ask when we are thankful soldiers of Christ. Thankful for being chosen to his army. He gave himself for me. He loves me with an everlasting love. He will never leave me nor forsake me, even when I am unlovable. When I remember that, when we remember that, the logical question is, how can I please him? How can I please him? One of the children from our congregation evidently wanted to please their mother, her mother. I don't know the thought process that went through her mind. What could she do to please her mother? She decided to go out and diligently collect flowers. When she came back, what did she have? She had a great big handful of dandelions. But how do you suppose the mother reacted? Do you think it would be reasonable for her to say, well, throw those away, those are weeds? Did she dismiss that action of her child? I'm sure she was pleased. What we could call an imperfect expression of love. She was pleased. Beloved, when we seek to please Jesus Christ, we bring to him imperfect, sinful, you could say, expressions of love. They are sinful because there is sin that clings to those things. But when we bring expressions of love, when we seek to please our commander, he doesn't take those things and throw them away. He is pleased when we bring to him that service of love, when we show forth our thankfulness, when we want to please him, he is pleased when we give ourselves to serve in his army. How can he be pleased? Because he sees the work of the Spirit of Christ. He sees the work that the Spirit is working in us. He is pleased with the work of the Spirit And the sin that is mixed with it, he has already paid for by his own precious blood. He is pleased when we seek to serve him. Romans 8, verse 8 says, they that are in the flesh, those that are unsaved, unregenerated, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, God has given us the Spirit. What will it look like when we seek to please Jesus Christ? The text mentions two things in particular. We will endure hardship, and we will avoid entangling ourselves in the things of this world. The main admonition to Timothy and also to us then is found in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness, endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy, be willing to suffer hardship patiently. Be willing to labor with blood, sweat, and tears. Be willing to suffer persecution. Be willing to continue on, even though the going will almost certainly be difficult. The apostle's command in the original has a sense of urgency when he gives the command to Timothy, as if to say to Timothy, Timothy, I solemnly charge you to act. And to do it now, endure hardship, the hardship that has come upon you. And then the Apostle Paul adds two illustrations to reinforce the necessity of enduring hardship. The first is in verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strives lawfully. The picture that the Apostle is speaking of comes from the world of sports. He uses the word where we get our word athlete from. If you compete in a hockey game, you're not going to win unless you strive lawfully. If you want to win, you need to compete in such a way and to such an extent as the rules stipulate. If your team decides to quit after the first period, well, it goes without saying, beloved, you're not going to win that game. Strive lawfully according to the rules of the game. Put in the whole 60 minutes. Keep your head in the game. You want to please the coach. That's the picture. The apostle indicates to Timothy and also to us that Jesus Christ would have strive the whole of our lives. Don't give up in the middle. If you give up in the middle of life and say, I don't care about pleasing Christ anymore. I cared about Christ and now look what he brought me. He brought me hardship. Now I'm going to throw in the towel. Don't expect to receive the crown if you reject Jesus Christ after the first period or the second period. Christ would have us endure hardness, persevering in the competition, to use that same figure that the apostle uses. But then the second picture is given in verse 6, and he continues on with the same thought. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. The farmer must toil energetically. This applies to ministers too. He must toil energetically. He must not be lazy if he expects to reap a harvest. If Timothy would exert himself, if your minister would exert himself, if all of us would exert ourselves, we ought to expect that God would give us a harvest. We ought to expect that He would give to us fruits. Not only then, if Timothy labors, would he himself be strengthened in his own faith, his own love deepened through his studies, himself blessed by the Word, but then also the saints in Ephesus would be blessed by that same Word that he brought to them. Timothy must endure hardship like an athlete and like a farmer, knowing that there is a crown that is given and there is the fruits that God gives upon our labors. The call, beloved, to endure hardship is given to us in order that we may please Christ. But that's only possible. It's only possible if Jesus Christ works in us. And it's only possible if He would work, does the work for us as well. That is, that He would suffer to earn for us the grace that we need. Jesus Christ did that. He endured hardship. Who could ever measure the hardship that He endured for our sakes? We could never measure what it meant that Christ experienced the torments of hell that we deserved. We can never measure that. We can scratch the surface, the very surface, when we look at Christ's words. We can read His words, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? We can try to imagine what that's like. But we will never know what it was to experience the infinite wrath of God for the sins that we have committed. But Jesus Christ did endure hardship for our sakes. Romans 15, verse 2, the Apostle Paul there says this: let every one of us please, that's the same word in our text, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Those who reproached God also reproached Jesus Christ, and they hung him on the cross. Why did he allow himself to be hung on the cross? Because he wanted to please his Father. And he wanted the good for us. He endured hardship for our sakes. Thankfulness now says, when we consider that, beloved, I want to do the same for his sake. I want to please Jesus Christ. Are you willing to endure hardship for Christ's sake? No doubt that call applies especially to ministers. Paul is writing to Timothy, a minister ought to be willing to endure hardship. He ought to be willing to put in long hours of study. He ought to be willing to strive to preach the whole counsel of God, even if that should mean he becomes unpopular. He ought to be willing to declare the whole counsel, the free forgiveness of God. He ought to be willing to declare the demands and obligations of the covenant. But what is his goal in ministry? Ultimately, to please Jesus Christ. And beloved, that applies to all of us, office bearers, but those in the office of all believer, each of us should have the same goal. Do you and I want to please Him who has chosen us as soldiers in His army? How do we react when someone hasn't treated us the way we would like to be treated? Well, if we want to be good soldiers, we will ask the question, what does my commander want me to do? How would Christ have me respond? That's not just practical, or that's not just theoretical, abstract doctrine. This is a practical question. What would Christ have me do? But Pastor, you don't know what she said to me. You don't know what he did to me. That's true. I don't. But I do know we have been called to serve Jesus Christ, and that each of us has to answer to our commander in chief. How can I please Christ? No matter what the cost. Giving myself and doing His will, whatever it costs, it's that simple. I say it's that simple. But simple doesn't necessarily mean easy. It's a simple thing to hike 20 miles up a steep mountain. It's simple because all you have to do is take one step after another till you get there. That's simple. But not easy. It's difficult. Simple is not the opposite of difficult. Simple is the opposite of complex. It is a simple thing. Christ commands us to obey Him. We often know exactly what He commands us to do, but we can't bring ourselves to do it. Somebody says about hiking 20 miles, it's impossible! And that's the way it is with us spiritually. It's not that we don't know what to do. We often know exactly what God calls us to do, but it's so difficult. It runs against our selfishness. It runs against pride. Go and apologize to somebody. You know, I'll have to humble myself if I'm going to apologize. Our flesh comes up with all kinds of excuses. It's simple, but indeed, by nature, it's impossible. Because by nature, we don't want to serve Christ. By nature, we can't serve Christ. Only if He will strengthen us are we able to put one foot in front of the other and go forward into battle. That was one aspect of the Roman army. They didn't march quickly. They were slow and methodical, but they went forward one step after another. How can you and I please our commander? By willingly enduring hardship in the way of obedience. Serving as a soldier in the Roman army and being at war were synonymous. Because Rome didn't have an army gathered, sitting there. Whenever an army was gathered, they were at war with that army. So it is with the Christian soldier. When God brings us into the army of Jesus Christ, makes us soldiers of Christ, there's no such thing as being a soldier without being at war. We are constantly at war. Each soldier is constantly at war against the devil and the world and our own sinful flesh. And if we are going to fight the good fight in the warfare to which God calls us, then the apostle in the next place indicates that we need to avoid entangling ourselves in the affairs of this world. Verse 4 of the text, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. How easily, beloved, we entangle ourselves in the affairs of this world. Jesus never entangled himself. He lived in the world. He ate and he drank. Before his ministry, he worked as a carpenter, but in all of those things, he never entangled himself in the affairs of the world. His one mission was to please his Father by satisfying God's infinite justice. But we often become entangled. We become involved in some activity to the point that it interferes with our service. That's what it means to become entangled. We become involved in something to such a degree, whatever degree that is, that it interferes with our service to Jesus Christ. I say, how easily we become entangled. One of the ways we become entangled is with sin. 2 Peter 2 verse 20 speaks of that entanglement. 2 Peter 2:20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. There are those who become so entangled that they are overcome. Now that means, beloved, if they are overcome, they never were soldiers of Christ. They pretended to be. They made a confession that they were, but in fact they were not. We cannot be overcome, but we do become entangled. That's why the apostle tells Timothy, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life. The pollutions of this world, they have a certain pull on us. We look at the pollution world, the filth of the world, and our flesh is drawn to that. Like a dog returning to his own vomit, we tend to be drawn to those very sins that have defiled us in the past. How easily we are drawn into that net. You can imagine a marriage, a husband perhaps unsympathetic to a wife, doesn't care for his wife. The wife meets someone else who's charming, and the entanglement begins. She begins to admire certain qualities in him, how easy it is to talk to him, how he understands. And soon she's looking for opportunities to be with him. And on it goes. That's the way it works with all sin, beloved. It's not something that happens overnight. Gradual, we take one step after another, further and further, entangling ourselves in the things of this world. And all the while, when we entangle ourselves in the world, we are leaving off the service of Jesus Christ. One step at a time. That regards the sins that entangle us. But beloved, the apostle is not just talking about sin to Timothy. He's talking about the so-called legitimate things too. Things that we might term Christian liberty. I like to jog, but then I need to be careful that I don't allow that activity to get in the way of the ministry. Some of you have hobbies too. And we need to be careful that we don't allow those things to take up so much time that now they affect our service of Christ. One of the favorite tools of the devil is television or the internet. But television, why? Because we sit down to watch it and before we know it, hours are gone. And not only does he cause us to spend hours of time there, now he takes away time from our devotions. We say to ourselves, I'm too busy for devotions. I'm too busy to read. I'm too busy to go to Bible study. But if we are honest with ourselves, we had the time, but we poured it away. Be careful with our hobbies. Not only does the devil take away our time with those things, he pours into our minds all kinds of filth. Be not entangled with the affairs of this world. Have you been called, beloved? Have I been called as a soldier of Jesus Christ? Purchased with his precious blood, ransomed out of the devil's army? Then endure hardship. Be willing to endure hardship as a good soldier. Don't become entangled with the things of this world. Examine ourselves where we have become entangled and seek God's grace that we may become disentangled from those things. Christ has called us to warfare. And he also gives us the grace that we may fight that warfare. He doesn't leave us by ourselves. We can become dejected and say, I failed again. I failed again. He wants us to see that our strength is in him. God grant to us that we may fight the good fight as we are called to warfare. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy grace towards us. We thank thee that thou hast called us out of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Grant us, O Lord, that we may be faithful soldiers in thy kingdom, that we may give honor and glory to thee no matter what the cost. Give us the strength that we may please thee. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.